but if you're financing a burger, you probably don't have a lot of assets for them to come after.
If you're pro tariffs, you're pro taxes. And if you're pro taxes, you think the state can solve your problems.
A Kit Kat is $18. A chicken is like $87. That would be like the new normal now. So who's going to be able to pay that?
I will, because I'm going to use Klarna.
That's why they have the foresight of giving you the option to, you know, pay by installments.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick and Tony here with me. Before we jump in, guys, I just want to give a quick shout out. Hodlin Tees. So this is one of our clients sent me this t-shirt. I'm bullish, feeling good, awesome t-shirt. Go to hodlintees.com. This isn't a paid sponsor or anything. We just like the guy and appreciate what he's doing to build in the space. Let's jump into the news here, gentlemen. So we have late stage fiat, no kidding. So DoorDash is partnering with Klarna to allow customers to choose to pay for food deliveries in interest-free installments or deferred options aligned with payday schedules. If purchasing a hamburger for delivery and being paid for in, you know, four interest-free installments isn't concerning to you, I don't know what is. Tony, why don't you take this one first? I don't really know what to say. I mean, DoorDash is expensive because of the delivery fees and the service charges and all that stuff, but the idea that people are having to pay in installments seems absolutely wild to me.
Man, I thought you were kidding when you brought up that story. I couldn't believe my ears that they actually are serious about this. I mean, this is funny, but not funny, right? I don't know what these guys know if, you know, they're building a business now around, you know, installments on burgers and fast food. That means like there's a really, really bad situation headed our way if folks are not going to be able to pay for a burger. I mean, what's the expected price on that burger? $120? I mean, what does a burger cost today? It's like $7-$8. Are they breaking that down into installments of what? $2? That's crazy, man. But it's worrisome if, you know, if this is really like a sign of things to come. But imagine, as bad as this is, imagine this on top of that being added to a digital ID, where not only you can't afford the food, but now if you're a bad little puppy, well, you can't. You can't even do the installments. So this is what I think may head it to Europe very soon, as early as this October 25, if they go ahead with this, you know, insane proposal of that CBDC, because that's exactly what these things lead to. I don't know, man. I mean, like I said, funny, not funny, but brace yourself. If you're saving in fiat and that's all you've got, I'm afraid you're in for some really, really rough waters. So do yourself a favor if you're lingering on zero and start at least looking into Bitcoin, getting yourself some, holding it yourself, not with an institution, yourself 100%, and just hedge against this disaster that's coming our way, it seems.
Amen. I will say the advantage that Europe has is at least when you order that food, it doesn't come with 50 extra preservatives and ingredients that you didn't want in it. So your bang for your buck's probably a little bit better if you're DoorDashing in Europe. Rick, what's your take?
Yeah. Oh, man. Like it's one of those stories, isn't it, where you kind of want to laugh because it's so ridiculous, the idea that someone's going to pay like $1 a week or, you know, whatever it is to buy a burger. And I think it just proves that we are living inside the world's biggest ever Ponzi, right? You know, for years they've called Bitcoin a Ponzi scheme, and now people are running around, you know, buying burgers on credit. It's absolutely crazy. And actually, when you think about all of this, it's probably worse than people realize, because the burger that you buy today for, I don't know how much a burger is in the US, right, at McDonald's, let's call it $10, right? Like, so you go and get a burger for $10. The truth is that that burger is what, like 10, 20 times more expensive than it was 30 years ago, but also is far lower quality, right? Because it's packed full of seed oils. They're not cooking their fries in tallow. God knows what the meat content is in those burgers. You know, so you're not even getting, you're getting lower quality food at a higher price that you can't afford. And now you have to pay in installments. And they try and, the most frustrating thing for me with companies like Klarna is that they try and make out that they're trying to help people, right? They try and say, oh, you know, we smooth it out so that you can spread your payments and make life a little easier. And the truth is they're targeting the poorest people in society and trying to stitch them right up. Now, they might argue, okay, but there's no interest on these payments. But there's also other options, right? Like you can defer the payment entirely, right? I don't know what the deal is there, but there'll be interest that sneaks into this deal somewhere. And it reminds me a lot of back a few years ago in the UK. I don't know if you had these in the US or elsewhere, but we had things called payday loans. And the idea was that, like, say you were 3 weeks into the month and you're a week short of payday and you just need some cash, like, I don't know, you want to go on a night out or something. Then you'd go onto, I think it was called like Wonga.com or something, and you'd say, right, I want to borrow $200 and then I'll pay it back in a week when I get paid. But the interest rates on these were just eye-watering. We're talking thousands of percent, right? Thousands. And people were getting in debt precisely because they were buying burgers and going on nights out and buying things they can't afford. And it was just crazy. And the whole thing ended in a total disaster. I think, you know, they ended up banning payday loans because so many people got into debt over it and all this sort of carry on. And it's kind of terrifying. You know, and in some ways, I've got some sympathy for people who feel like, oh, I can't afford a McDonald's burger right now, so I'm going to pay. But I don't know how far that goes, because at the end of the day, you can eat relatively good food for pretty cheap, right? I'll give you an example. I quite like to cook, right? I could rustle you up maybe a nice duck fillet with some dauphinoise potatoes, a nice red wine jus. I reckon I could get that done for £6 a plate or less, right? Because if
lunch
you
at Rick's,
man, yeah, like if you know how to cook, it's you can. Like, man, we're eating duck, we're eating salmon, and I promise you, it costs less than a DoorDash burger that arrives cold, isn't satisfying, has no nutritional value. So people are still making choices, right? Like my sympathy will only go so far.
But there's something that comes to mind. Like, what if somebody defaults on that payment? Like, how are you going to take back that burger?
The collection agency comes for them.
Right? Like, I mean, I don't know how well they've thought this through, but usually when you buy a product, I mean, maybe you can get the product back. But if the individual has eaten the meal and they don't pay, then what do you do?
I mean, it's crazy. And you know what? The whole thing, all of this stems out of, right, that Klarna are now, like, they're trying to launch an IPO. Right. So they've done this deal with DoorDash now to try and like boost that up. And the funny thing is they're building a giant burger Ponzi, right? So that they can launch an IPO so that people with money from the fiat Ponzi can chuck their Ponzi money into the burger Ponzi. And hopefully we all get out, right, of this burger Ponzi back into the other Ponzi before people can't pay their burgers back. This is the last days of Rome, right? There's no other way.
Complete fucking lunacy.
But can you imagine?
There's gonna be a guy in the future who's like, who goes bankrupt because he bought a cheeseburger. Like, imagine that. No.
Can you imagine getting a knock on the door at midnight from a collection agency and they're like, "Hey, you owe $4.50." You're like, I don't have it. I can't.
Give us back that burger. Yeah. Here's the sanitary bag.
Yeah, this is also because there is no. I suppose there's probably collateral on the loan. It's like whatever other assets you have. But if you're financing a burger, you probably don't have a lot of assets for them to come after. And so the question is, when a million people default on these loans, who foots the bill? And we're back to the 08 bailouts on just a smaller scale. You know, like they're going to socialize the losses, and Klarna's going to get, you know, their CEO is going to get a massive bonus for the year. And it's so crazy. I can't believe we're even talking about this.
Yeah, man. Well, you just used your KFC from last week. What's KFC that? From last week is your collateral for the burger next week, right? just roll it over.
Oh my gosh, it's a mess. All righty, enough of that one. Let's move on to some more serious topic. So we've got Jerome Powell. I've never heard this before. He said that tariff inflation could be transitory. Let's watch this video.
It can be the case that it's appropriate sometimes to look through inflation if it's going to go away quickly without action by us, if it's transitory. And that can be the case in the case of tariff inflation. I think that would depend on the tariff inflation moving through fairly quickly, and it would depend critically as well on inflation expectations being well anchored, longer term inflation expectations being well anchored.
All right. So we've gone through this at least once before with our dear friend Jerome. who's listening to this guy and taking anything that he says seriously, particularly like he should have found a different word besides transitory, because that was the meme, right? Like that's what we've all been mocking him for so long, was that inflation's transitory. Rick, why don't you take this one first? What do you think of Jerome's comments?
Crazy, man. Crazy. Yeah, I think it was Janet Yellen, right, who a few years back said, oh, don't worry, inflation's transitory, it'll come back down, there's no problem here. So sometimes I think these guys aren't even trying to hide it. It feels like they're openly mocking us, right? Because they know that we made loads of memes about inflation being transitory. I don't think it's a misstep. I think they do it because they genuinely don't care about you. Like, there's an element of mocking you when they do this as well. The craziest thing about these tariffs, well, first, let's address what Jerome said. So I think you mentioned there that they're going to try and separate out the inflation caused by tariffs from the other inflation. Now, I don't know what kind of stupid back of a fag packet math they're going to do that, right? It'll be similar to the way they calculate CPI, like, oh, don't include housing and energy because then the number will look bad, right? So they're going to make up some numbers, right, to tell you, God only knows what. They'll probably try and tell you, oh, inflation's actually really low, but because of these tariffs, it's just high at the moment, but it's only transitory, so don't worry, right? It's all spin, it's all bullshit. And the crazy thing that I'm struggling to get my head around, maybe you could help us a bit, you know, given you're in the US, but like, it seems to me that a lot of people in America are like really excited about these tariffs. Like, they think it's amazing. And I got to tell you, right, I think these people are like, I don't know, man, I think they need to go read a book and like think this through, because you can call it a tariff, but let's call it what it really is. It's a tax, right? And if you believe, right, if you want a better standard of life, a better quality of life for everybody on the planet, what you need is a free market. And what that means is the governments get the hell out of the way and let people trade with each other, build businesses. The free market will make everything competitive and everyone will be able to succeed in that environment. As soon as you have governments coming in and charging tariffs, all they're doing is applying taxes to things. It's centralized intervention, right? Where this group of crazy idiots, including Trump in this little room, think that they can centrally manage a complex global economy by pressing on certain aspects of it. And it never works. It never will work. And what people need to realize is then other governments will put on retaliatory tariffs. Now, what I think people have missed here is they think, yeah, but America's stronger than the other countries, so we'll tariff harder and then we'll win. And who cares about the other countries? And I'm like, guys, you've really missed the point here. Governments don't produce anything of any value. All they do is extract value. And now you're all on the sidelines cheering that all these governments are going to be applying all these new taxes. And I guarantee you, I don't care what side of the pond you're on, or, you know, which country you're in and how the tariffs affect you, but everybody will be worse off because of these things. You know, in my mind, if you're cheering on any kind of taxation, I think you've got some books to read. Like, I think you need to go and reconsider that position, because it's mental. If you think you're going to win by tariffing the rest of the world, what was that book, like Bitcoin for 5-year-olds, that they sent to Portnoy? Like, we maybe need to dumb down the education, because if you're pro tariffs, you're pro taxes, and if you're pro taxes, you think the state can solve your problems, and if you think the state can solve your problems, I don't know what to tell you. You're like a child looking for someone to make everything okay again, and it's just not how the world works.
Yeah, well, philosophically, I completely agree with you, Rick. I think here's the let me sort of steelman the tariff argument. So one, a lot of people think he's using it as a negotiating tactic. So like, you know, we're going to tariff Mexico if you don't help, you know, stem the flood of illegals into our country, like, you know, those kinds of things. And so I understand it as a negotiating tactic. I agree. I don't want government doing any of that stuff anyway. But I think the practical reality is that's where we're at. And so it probably can be used as a negotiating tactic. The other thing that I've heard, and again, I haven't looked into it this much because I'm opposed to tariffs because they are taxes, is that the United States has actually been really screwed. We've allowed other countries to screw us on tariffs. We're like Canada's has tariffs of, you know, tens of percent, 200% on certain goods. And our tariffs on them for certain goods are like 5 or 10%. And so there's an inequality in the trade balance. And it's like, why are we we are the stronger country. That doesn't mean we need to like impose our will, but let's at least have a fair playing field here. Let's ideally, there are just no tariffs. We just negotiate down to zero. Let's just let free trade take its course. We don't need to tax. Like if everyone in the United States wants to buy Hondas and Toyotas and Volkswagens, by all means, like there's no import tax on that. Like just, you can buy those. And then Ford and Chrysler, all the big US main Tesla, no subsidies. You just have to compete to beat out Honda and Toyota and Volkswagen. Right. And so, that would be the ideal case. So my sense is maybe there's been, for all the United States power, we have had some incredibly weak leadership. And so it wouldn't surprise me if we are just allowing ourselves to be screwed and we're paying the price. What we need to get to is no tariffs, because everyone just allows free trade and you can compete for the best product. That would be my ideal scenario. So you can comment back on that if you disagree or have any other thought. But otherwise, Tony, I'd be curious to hear your opinion.
No, man, not much more to add on what you both said. You're both spot on. I mean, but this is, you know, this is the signs of the end. I mean, what do you expect them to say? They have nothing else to say. Everything is so bad and it's so apparently, you know, collapsing that, you know, it's almost laughable at that point that they even come out in public to say anything at all. The system is very efficient. You've got all of these, you know, inefficient entities now, essentially self-destructing. But what that means is that they're throwing all of us into the economic front lines, right? So as they destroy each other with tariffs, that means that everything we have to buy is going to become exponentially more expensive. So we become economic casualties of this bullshit that goes on with these psychopaths. That's it. If there's a benefit to America by doing this, it's definitely not in the short term. In the short term, it's going to be a brutal, brutal beating that every American citizen is going to get. And also internationally in Europe as well, anywhere where the tariffs are being bounced back and forth, it's the people that are going to get fucked like beyond anything you can possibly imagine right now. So whatever money you have in the bank, consider it a haircut. You're going to get at least, if you're lucky, a 50% haircut on your purchasing power because of this nonsense that's happening. So you want governments out of the way. Really, you want them. These people are no good. They've never been good. All the mess that we're, you know, seeing right now are just decades of accumulated inefficiency and bullshit. And now it's gotten to the point where that's it. It's not sustainable anymore. And, well, you know, we're witnessing, you know, unfold in real time. Again, if you're in the system, you will be an economic casualty of that system. It's a mathematical guarantee at this point. There's just no way around it. I wouldn't be surprised if the pricing in Lebanon, you'll find it anywhere around the world now. You walk into a supermarket, a Kit Kat is $18. A chicken is like $87. That'll be like the new normal now. So who's going to be able to pay that?
Yeah, right. I will, because I'm going to use Klarna.
Yeah, you can. That's why they have the foresight of giving you the option to, you know, pay by installments.
Klarna is shorting the US dollar.
It's a whole mess. Again, you need to exit the system if you don't want to be taken down by it, because the sad part is it's like the global, the general population has no idea this is going on. Like, I mean, we talk about this every week, but, you know, there's 97% of the world that's like light years away from this news. They have zero, like I mean, zero clue about what's coming their way. But when that day comes, holy shit, man, that is not a pretty sight. So brace yourself.
I agree with Tony. Like, you know, his point, I think, is the perfect point, which is everybody's going to lose. So, you know, when I'm sort of saying to Michael, like, you know, I'm not interested in America, like beating out some other country with tariffs. Like you could absolutely be right that US has been on the receiving end of tariffs for a while and there's inequality there. And I could see why Americans would think, well, hang on, we're getting ripped off here. We need to push back a bit. I totally get that. But I agree with Tony that I think everybody loses. So I think, let's say America wins the tariff war with other countries, right? And redresses that balance. I think everybody still loses. It might just be that the Americans lose slightly slower than the countries that they beat up with the tariffs. To make my point, I know we have a lot of US viewers and customers and stuff. So in no way am I saying, oh, you know, like it's a patriotic thing, like screw the Americans, I want the Europeans to win the tariff war. I want no tariff war because I think everybody's going to lose out. And I love the American people. Not as big a fan of the American government, right? So you know, I just want Americans to succeed. I want everyone to be able to succeed. And if we're allowed to trade with one another without governments getting in the way and all of this sort of stuff, I think we would all live a life of abundance. You know, we'd all do well. So the sooner we get rid of these lunatics, the better.
Yeah. To be clear, the flag sitting behind me is symbolic of the people and the ideals of this country. It has nothing to do with my disdain for the government. The one last thing I would add to this, though, is, you know, again, philosophically, I want no tariff war. I want all tariffs removed, free market capitalism to just flood the world. That's the win-win-win all around. So all of that said, what a lot of people don't realize is that if you put tariffs on, that will be a tax on your goods. The inflation, I don't know if it'll be transitory like Powell thinks, but like there will be inflation. It's not inflation because it's not a monetary phenomenon. There will be price increases. The cost of goods will go up for anything that's tariffed. The problem is it's one thing if you say, hey, we're going to eliminate the income tax. So the 30% of your money that we steal from you, you're going to get to keep. And the tariff, let's say like the fallout from the tariffs is like an average of a 15% price increase. Well, we as Americans would still come out ahead if we're paying 30% income taxes. There'd be a 15% delta. Well, that's great if you're paying 30% income taxes. Half of the country doesn't pay income taxes. And so those people aren't saving any money. First of all, most of those people are, you know, leeching off of society. So there's that, but they're not paying any income tax. So they're not keeping more money anyway. They're just paying 15% extra to buy products from abroad because of the tariffs. And so they're going to hit, like, it's always this lower 50% or so that's going to hit be hit hardest with these sorts of taxes and the trade wars and everything going on. And I think that's like where read a book, like do some math, think about how this actually works in practice. And I think suddenly people might support tariffs as a negotiating tactic, but it's not because they want tariffs. It's like, hey, let's get back to like an even playing field.
Forget the reading a book. No one's going to read anything. If you're listening to this as an American citizen, just go warn the people you care about. Like, tell them this is not a joke. This is not a drill. This is not like a funny thing you heard on, you know, on YouTube. This is serious stuff that it's headed our way. So if no one's reading a book or listening to, you know, messages like this, maybe they'll listen to you, you know, as a trusted reference point.
Yeah.
Because this is bad news, whichever way you look at it, it's not good.
And if you think they're going to reduce income taxes to zero, I've got a bridge in London I can sell you. You know what I mean?
Never, never.
Hey, I'm throwing that out as a hypothetical because it's been floated out there. I'm not suggesting that's my base case. So, all right, let's move on. Last bit of news. So the IMF board has warned Trump not to add any more Bitcoin to America's strategic reserve, citing volatility and stability risk to the U.S. economy. Look, I've been very clear, I think, in my opinion about the strategic Bitcoin reserve. I'm not for it. I don't like it. I don't want government to acquire more Bitcoin. I don't want them to be more powerful. I don't want the digital gold narrative to be cemented into the minds of the American people. I think that is a bad thing. That said, I don't know what the hell the volatility and stability risk to the U.S. economy is if they just buy Bitcoin and squat on it. So not pro-strategic reserve. Also, the IMF is stupid, and I have no idea what they're even referencing here. Tony, I'll let you take this one first. What do you think?
They're finished, man. They're crumbling. The best way to beat these people is to simply ignore them. And I have a feeling that this is what's starting to happen. I don't know how legitimate the claim of Bukele ignoring the IMF is. I pray it's true that he's just ignoring all their nonsense and buying Bitcoin regardless. If Trump does the same thing, then other countries are going to, you know, mimic that behavior. And that's all you need. There's no need to go to war. Just ignore him. And they become irrelevant much sooner than anybody thinks. This is a criminal organization. They benefit no one. And so the sooner you get rid of that cancer, the better everybody will be. So keep your fingers crossed, man. I mean, this is politics. It's a very dirty business. I don't even know what happens behind the scenes. But as long as he ignores them, at least, you know, enough, and other people follow in the same trajectory, it's a win.
Yeah. There's like a part of me that almost wants Trump to buy some Bitcoin just to ignore the IMF, like to blatantly ignore the IMF's recommendation. But again, I default back to my current position on the strategic reserve anyway. Rick, what's your thought?
Not a huge amount to say about the IMF, really, that you guys haven't already touched on, right? They're a criminal organization. It's kind of hilarious. I'm with you, Michael, about like, I'm not interested in the American government building a strategic Bitcoin reserve. I'd rather see people doing that. So I guess in some ways I agree with the IMF on that, but for very different reasons, right? Not because I think Bitcoin's a risk or anything like that. And like you've said, you know, they've gone after Bukele and they try and throw their weight around a little bit, but they are becoming more and more irrelevant. What's funny to me though, you know, this is where I try and encourage people to sort of zoom out, because you can see through the propaganda once you start thinking for yourself. Because, you know, we started this Bitcoin banter talking about the fact that you can buy burgers on credit, right? And, you know, I noticed the IMF telling Trump, oh, don't buy Bitcoin. That's really risky behavior. But they don't seem to be making much comment about the fact that everyone's buying chicken tendies on credit, right? So what is the purpose of this organization? I don't think they're interested in stability. I think they're just interested in ripping everybody off. And yeah, I mean, look, you know, they had a go at Trump now. They've obviously had a go at Bukele. I think they were whinging at the Czech central bank at one point for talking about Bitcoin and stuff. And that's because they know that that's their competition. So I would imagine you're going to hear more from the IMF over the next 5 years, because the closer they get to the brink of becoming obsolete, the more they're going to screech and scream and fight against it. But like Tony says, we've kind of reached that point where they're a bit irrelevant now, right? Like no one really cares. It's like, you know, we've invented trains and there's still a load of guys like on the canal boats, right? Screaming at us, don't use those trains. That's not fair. And we just get on the train and blast off right while they're sitting on their boat. So technology moves on. The IMF is obsolete. And I'm sure Trump's smart enough not to listen to them, but I hope that he's stupid enough to listen to them so that we can all buy more Bitcoin than the American government.
Amen. I think that's a good place to stop. Like Tony said, everyone, well, first of all, thank you for tuning in. But Tony, I think you're dead on. People need to opt out. This, all the chaos that we talk about here is solvable. And the question for most people is, what are you going to do with it? And the answer is to buy Bitcoin, but you need to take it into proper 100% self-custody. So go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast, schedule some time with a member of our team. We can help you do it the right way the first time. We also help with online privacy, setting up privacy phones. We've got a Plan B residency option. So everything you need for self-sovereignty and the self-sovereign lifestyle. Also, go check out Hodland Tees if you think my t-shirt's sexy. I'm just glad he had gray. So, he had color options. I was like, hey, you got gray, I'll wear anything. That's Hodlin, HodlinTees.com. Appreciate our friends over there and everything they're doing. Gents, it's always a pleasure chatting with you guys. Look forward to catching up again here in a few days.
Thank you, Michael.
Cheers, Michael.
Cheers, guys.